Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block! Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now, here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Happy Thursday to all across the Delaware Valley. What a, the night that saved the Philly season occurred last night. With the Brewers already having won, the season was like on the brink, I think. I've been trying not to look at this thing and thinking, well, because of the schedule and the Milwaukee not being that good, that the Phillies would still be able to at least make the playoffs, right? Like, and that's all I want. All I'm really looking for is a playoff, a couple playoff games. Just make it. Just break the 10-year drought. That's it. That's all I've been thinking about. So last night, you know, Vlad the Impaler hits the 3-run bomb, and I'm like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. Especially after they had chance after chance. Right? They had chance after chance. Their bases loaded, Bryce, Hoskins, all this stuff. And you can't get a run home. First and third, one out. Can't get a run home. Syndergaard does not give up a run. And, you know, Vlad hits the 3-run shot, which is like a tracer. And then JT goes 3-1. And then all of a sudden, you start to mount a little bit of a rally. Tied ball game. And then bases loaded, top 10. Hernandez, who is nasty, hits a rocket. Like a low rocket tracer. Segura, terrific play. Dives on second for the double play. They get the run home to win it, bottom 10, and save the season. Because it looked like they were going... They were tight. It looked like they were tight, squeezing the bat, squeezing the ash. That's what it looked like. But you know what? That was a big win last night. It really was. It was a win that saved the season. What a bizarre day. And it was a crazy, bizarre day in Philadelphia. On the same day, the two false messiahs speak, false messiahs, Carson Wentz, Ben Simmons, on the same day they speak about their time in Philadelphia. And both kind of said the right things, although Simmons is delusional. sometimes I wonder, is he just, you know, is he either not all there? Is he like, it almost feels like he's a mannequin. Like he's almost like a cyborg, like without any kind of weird, any feelings. And he's just a strange dude, man. In so many ways, he's an oddity. And it's weird because it's the day of the false messiah. I mean, I could have been a better teammate. I think back to those days, man, and it's so interesting because, you know, we're gonna go face him. The Eagles are gonna go face him Sunday. We got all kinds of people heading down Philly sports trips. All these, it's amazing, right? Everybody's the Chunis is going down, right? Johnny DeKay's going down. Everybody's going down. It's the Wentz game. It's an unbelievable story. And here, you know, we're not that far removed from it, which is amazing. And think about it, that here we are, and it was only a little bit over a year ago where everything changed, right? Last season, you know, again, two seasons ago was his last in Philadelphia. And all that all ended with Doug, and he gets fired, and, you know, Wentz goes to Indy, and they recoup the first-round pick, which is bizarre, right? Like what Howie did was amazing, the whole thing. But what a wild day that the two of them speak, Simmons on the J.J. Redick podcast, and Wentz, they do a Wednesday, everybody does a Wednesday meeting, the coach and the quarterback, they do a tele-press conference with the out-of-town media. It's always been on a Wednesday. So he speaks. It's just wild. And I'm dying to dive into it. But, yes, the season was saved. Chunas, let me hear it. Oh,
sorry, we are dealing with plenty of technical difficulties.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, no worries, what, you wanted a song?
Well, you know, we always do it after a win, so that's all.
That one's pulled deep to left field. It's going to go. It is gone. And the Phillies are on the board. It's a 3-1 game to start the bottom of the eighth inning. JT's 21st home run of the year. And a line drive base hit into right field. That'll tie the game. It's going to send Vierling over to third. Schwarber goes diving back. It's a 3-3 ball game. A bouncer. It's a center field. Matt Vierling has won the ball game. Here in the bottom of the 10th inning, his first ever five-hit night. And the Phillies come from behind and win it 4-3.
Yeah, that was a good win. A very needy win. Because it started to get tight and scary, and Milwaukee already having won, and you're staring up at a 3-0 deficit after Guerrero's home run. That was scary, Chunas.
Yeah, man.
Frightening.
I don't want to say it saved the season, but I do also want to say it saved the season, because if you've lost six straight games and then you're about to begin a four-game series with the Braves, and I know they keep on saying, I said it again yesterday, the players keep on saying that, you know, that doubt hasn't crept into their mind. They ignore that noise. They ignore everything that has happened over the last couple of years. No, you can't ignore it. It's only human, right? Especially when a lot of those guys that are in the lineup have been a part of it. They've been a part of the September collapses under Gabe Kapler and under Joe Girardi, and now what looked like it could have been under Rob Thompson. Like, they have been a part of it.
Yeah.
They know all about it. I know Schwarber hasn't been here for it. Castellanos has been hurt. But a lot of these guys have been a part of it. So they definitely know that has been going on over the last couple of years. And if you're one of the young kids, right, you're probably, this is your first taste of September baseball in the major leagues. You're probably gripping the bat a little bit tighter. So a win like that is huge, especially in the way they do it. Like a little come from behind piece, you go, all right, let's go with this momentum into the next game. Now, game one of Phillies Braves is important. If you get beat down like you got beat down in game one of the Jays series.
Oh, listen, when I say save the season, that's a for now piece.
Right.
You know, because listen, they lose last night. I mean, it's white knuckle.
Yeah, you're up only a game and a half.
You know, all of a sudden, like, I was talking to my cousin last night. We were talking about it. And, you know, I remember being a kid, and I'll tell you the story, and it's germane to it. When I was a kid, they used to call the Phillies bums all the time, right?
Yes.
Like, that was the word, bums. They're bums, bums, bums.
One of the first words I learned as a kid.
Right? And I think it, maybe ask your father, because maybe this is true, that those people that lived through 1964, right, those people were paralyzed by that collapse.
Yeah.
Like if you're a young kid in 1964 and you remember the Phillies, that's your first kind of foray into the Phillies. That was a big deal.
Because
I think that messed with people. I remember dealing with these people, like, especially it was before they won the World Series, Chunas, like early 2000s. That was still like a thing.
Well, yeah, I don't doubt it.
I know they went in like an 80 when I'm a little boy, but it was still a thing up until the 2000s. And then people start to, you win another World Series in 08, and it kind of goes away a little bit. But I still think those people were haunted by it.
Yeah, and think about it. 93 was just kind of a blip in the radar, right? It's not like they had made the playoffs before that, and they didn't make the playoffs after that. That was one random season where all of a sudden they make the playoffs when they hadn't since, what, was 83? 83? When they went to the World Series, were they in the playoffs in 84? I mean, I don't know. Random playoff appearances.
No, they weren't.
So they make the World Series in 83.
They don't make the playoffs again until 93.
Then it's 1 year.
They're like the Flyers with 10-game losing streaks. Right, they just have 10-year playoff drought.
Right, exactly. So also it's 10 years to 93, and then that was just a blip.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't make the playoffs again until 07.
Right.
So I don't blame anybody. Right. And look, dude, they've made 14 playoff appearances in franchise history dating back to the 1800s.
Yeah, right.
Like they're
one of the oldest franchises in all of the world.
And I get it. Playoffs have changed because it used to just be the winner of the National League versus the winner of the American League. But that's bad, man.
Nah, it's terrible.
The playoffs, they've expanded. The shortened season, the 60-game season, where both the top two teams of each division make it, and the Marlins make it. The Phillies went like 3-10 against the Marlins in 60 games.
Well, that's why those old-timers, we got bombs, they're bombs. They're bombs. The old heads, bombs. You know? And I can only imagine, like, I guess those people know a chapter and verse, how they had X amount of games to play. All they needed was one win, magic number, and they lose every game in ridiculous fashion, the whole thing. But last night, you had to win.
You had
to come back and win that game. And when they didn't win it, I'll tell you the truth. When they didn't win it in the bottom of the ninth, I go, they're going to lose.
I was done, yeah.
And in top of the 10, when Toronto loads the bases.
They had every chance to win that game.
Right? And what's his name? Can't throw strikes.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
It walks bases loaded, falls behind Hernandez.
And he gets out of it with that line or double play.
I mean, it was just that's baseball, right? Because anywhere else, that's two runs, first and third, another tack on.
Yep.
It's 6-3 Jays, and they go out with a whimper.
Yeah, and they pull out the win, man. That was huge, and now you have a big series of the Braves, because here's the deal. Not that I say big series of the Braves because you're going to try to catch them in the wild card. That's not happening. The Brewers have 4 with the Reds, and the Reds are one of the worst teams in baseball.
Yeah,
okay?
Dude.
Joey Votto is done for the season, so it's not like he's playing. The Reds are one of the worst teams in baseball, so you can imagine that the Brewers are going to probably win that series. They're probably going to take 3 games. The beauty of where you're standing right now, even though it says 2.5 in the standings, it's technically 3.5 because you have that season record, the season series victory over the Brewers. So if you finish the season tied, you're in the playoffs. So technically they have a 3.5 game lead. If the Phils drop 3 of 4, and if the Brewers take 3 of 4, which are both very possible, you're going to be tied beginning the next series. And that's terrifying. Now,
oh my God, terrifying.
Terrifying.
Like beginning the last week, and you go at Chicago.
Which you should take care of
at
business.
At Washington.
Which you should take care of business.
And then at Houston.
Yes. And now, the Brewers, we went through their schedule. It's not very difficult. They have 2 more games with the Cardinals, which will be tough for them. So the Brewers are going to start winning some ball games. Yeah. They had a very tough stretch when the Phillies had an easy stretch, right?
Yeah.
And the Phillies didn't really run away with it. But they, you know, the Brewers weren't winning games, that's why I kept on saying the Phillies are going to make the playoffs. But if you drop 3 of 4.
I mean, we all thought that. I did too. I thought for sure. I still think it, but I mean, who knows? I mean, you see them start to grip it a little tight. You have to make it. You got to somehow get in. You can't collapse. Jonas, that would be the worst thing. At least you get in. I don't care if you get dropped out of the first round. At least you get in.
Yes.
You get a taste of it. You start to build off of it.
I think that if they face the Braves in round one, they're losing in probably 2 games.
Yeah, but you face the Cardinals, so like, who knows?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I got Wheeler and Nola, which still gives you a decent chance of winning at least one, making
especially a three-game series
against Atlanta.
I look at St. Louis, I go,
well, that's the thing. I still think they can go 3 games with Atlanta. If they're going up against St. Louis, look, the only thing that sucks is that it's all on the road.
Right.
They have a chance to win that series. Again, they won the season series against St. Louis. Now, St. Louis has played much better since the last time they faced each other.
Listen, I mean, obviously, they have a formidable 3-4-5.
Yeah, I mean, you have Arenado and Goldschmidt.
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
Exactly. But you know.
You have Schwarber, you have Harper, like JT, who's back to being the best catcher in baseball, even though half the city doubted him.
By the way, that was a big home run.
Huge home run. Got them started.
It did. It kind of injected life into them.
There was a story Matt Gelb of The Athletic put out that this season, Bryce, you know, it's one of these analytics like F war, not just war, but F war. But JT Realmuto is having the fifth best season in the history of the league.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, a lot of people were out on him.
Yeah.
A couple months ago.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a ball player, man.
Yeah, well, of course he is. Listen, but you needed him to give you some power.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, all of a sudden he's got 21 home runs.
That was a big deal, especially now with Reese going quiet.
Yeah, well, you and I went through it. He's 4 for his last 30.
Yeah. You know, Reese is slumping. And bad at bat last night in front of Harper.
Yeah, so you got to hope that Castellanos is about to begin a rehab assignment. Maybe when he comes back, maybe he's got something, which would then ultimately help Hoskins, too, in the line. Yeah. You know, if you can make that lineup a little bit deeper,
right,
that's going to go a long way with Schwarber and then Hoskins, Harper,
yes,
Realmuto,
yes,
Castellanos.
Yes.
You'd probably leave Realmuto in the four hole at this point.
Yeah, I would.
You don't take him out. I don't like him as a four hole hitter, but
he's not, but
he's
it doesn't matter.
Right now.
Listen, when somebody's hot, I never move him.
Right, exactly.
I completely agree. All right, there's lots to get to. How about it, Judas, though? Yesterday was a monster day when it comes to the landscape of Philadelphia sports. The two false messiahs speak yesterday.
Dude, the parallels that these guys have been on.
Oh, my God, it's uncanny.
You know, first and second overall pick, that's like the one difference, right? But handed the keys to the city. And we all thought they were going to be the guys plus years. There was talk that it was going to be Simmons over Embiid as like the guy that you're really building around the organization, as you've said.
Yeah.
Thought that themselves, right?
Yes.
Until Morey comes in and changes things a little bit. And then they kind of both go off the cliff at the same time.
Bizarre, isn't it?
And think about it. Like, Ben Simmons was pretty good his rookie year, but year two was incredible. Year two of Wentz was incredible. The parallels between these two guys are uncanny.
What's so weird about it is, like, Wentz is a little bit more understandable, right? Like, he has the big second year. He had a great rookie year, like, really promising rookie year. I remember Jason Peters saying, oh, my God, he's going to be great.
Yeah.
Everybody loved him, too. His teammates loved him.
Yes.
I don't even understand what happened to him. It's like he got weirder. But anyway, in week...
Well, he got weird with the Super Bowl.
Well, week two, correct. Year two, he has the great run. All right? But he also became weird with the Super Bowl in that he became weird in the locker room. Not just I missed out on it, but he became unto himself. He had more of a closed thing, closed community around him. It was him and Zach Ertz.
That was really it, yeah.
That was his crew. Bizarre, just how it all played out. And, of course, you could understand it, though, right? Like, that, to me, makes sense. That here is Wentz and these circumstances that really, beyond everybody's control, like, it was happenstance.
Right.
He gets hurt, and they go on to win the first Super Bowl in franchise history behind a once-in-a-lifetime performance by Nick Foles, the backup quarterback. I mean, wow. And then after that, he's chasing ghosts.
Right.
Right? That's it. That's the story. Simmons is more odd because year two, he was phenomenal.
He was great. I go, look at that leap forward.
And then he hits a wall and becomes weird. Another one becomes really, really strange and weird. And I don't know, you know, Kardashian curse, whatever you want to call it. You know, all that stuff. Money, you know, all the stature. But he becomes weird. And he never evolves. The most bizarre thing in the world is it's not like he wasn't a great talent. He didn't stink. He was terrific. Like, he was a guy that was trending on being a generational talent. Like, we all thought. And he hit a wall. And he got weird. And then from there, it was, you know, bagging out of games and COVID.
Faking a COVID exposure.
Yes. Passing off dunks.
That still is not talked about enough. The fact that he faked a COVID exposure.
That's one of the weirdest most bizarre, crazy situations. Crazy.
And then just when you think, like, all right, so Wentz, I thought he came out of it when they won the four straight games to get to the playoffs, but then he gets pile-drived in the back of the head by Jadeveon Clowney. And I think that's kind of that kind of ended it, because then that led to them drafting Jalen Hurts because they didn't have an actual backup option. They had to play Josh freaking McCown, who was 95 years old, to try to win a playoff game. And then Simmons, you know, all he had to do after passing up the dunk against the Hawks was just, like, say something different. But instead he said,
I am who I am. It is what it is.
Like, everybody was ripping him. Yeah, all he had to do was say, I got to work harder.
Yeah, but his thing, the previous 2 years was a downward cycle. Like, it really was. It was weird. The previous two seasons where he didn't shoot and he got mad when people... The one game against Cleveland when he bangs a three, it was a Saturday night. He scored like 37 or 35, bangs a three.
Brett Brown pointed it out.
Everybody freaks out. And then he got weird.
Yeah, because Brett Brown said, you know, I want you to tell Ben or his people or whatever to take one three a night. That's all he wanted.
Yeah.
He didn't take a three the rest of the season.
I know.
It was insane.
Yeah, wild.
Like, I can't stop talking about these guys. I'll be honest. I am obsessed.
Well, it's so interesting. You should be, because they were. It's a fascinating plot line that really never got closure. And nobody really talked about it. Like, in yesterday, you're going to hear from both of them, and neither of them really addressed it. They were superficial and just wanted to get through it. We'll talk about it. Lots to do today.
I can't blame them either.
I don't either, but, you know, it doesn't quench the thirst of what the freak happened, right? You want more answers. We got a busy, busy, busy show today, all right? We got the geek for your fantasy. We got Geek Out Trivia. We have The Vault, which you want to hear about, because it's going to be fun stuff in The Vault, including sick movies, which is the theme today, since my whole family's sick. We got all kinds of things we got to get to today. Mike Garofalo is going to join us from the NFL Network. We got Phillies to talk about and the false messiahs. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. It's Cuz Radio with the Tunis right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You know, when we began opening this vault nearly 2 hours ago, we had no real idea what we'd find inside. As it turns out, we haven't found very much.
So today is probably the most random vault of them all, because there wasn't that much that happened.
Well, the vault is all kinds of stuff.
I know, but like usually I can go this day in history.
Are we going to Sephora?
Or this guy's birthday. No, we did not go to Sephora.
That's my wife's favorite store.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, she loves Sephora.
Well, she and Ben, they can go shopping together.
Yeah.
So I have one moment this day in history, and the rest I'll explain is all over the place. But this day in history, and I forget the year, my bad, but number 600 for one Willie Mays. Now, yesterday we played the audio of Rocky Marciano. Remember how it sounded like that audio was from like 10 centuries ago? So here's the radio call of Willie Mays' 600th home run.
First, there's a pitch to Willie.
One on hit, deep to left. That one is way back, way back, way back. Willis is by number 600 for Willie Mays and the bye-bye Baby Bonanza. And the Giants come to home plate to greet him. Number 600 for Mays. He hit it over the 370-foot mark. A standing ovation here for Willie.
Wow, that's awesome. Dude, that's a great bust-out call.
And you know what's crazy? So he says he's getting, you know, standing ovation here, right?
If Willie Mays. I wish I could have seen him play.
I'll send you the clip.
Say hey, kid. What a great. That's a great nickname.
That's a great nickname. I'll send you the clip. Dude, there was nobody in the outfield. Not a single person. Like, you know how when a ball's hit,
everybody's clicking.
Dude, there wasn't a person out there. It was eerie.
Really?
Like, I thought it was like.
I wonder what happened to that ball.
Yeah, I mean, somebody must have gotten it, but. Yeah. Like, dude, there was nobody in the outfield.
And back then, did they even think about, like, that kind of souvenir?
Yeah,
I would probably think. I don't know.
I saw there was a.
First of all, Willie. Is there a cooler name than Willie?
Willie Mays Hayes?
Hey, think about all the Willies. Willie Stargell. Right? Willie McCovey. Like, Willie's a great name.
Willie is a great name.
Cousin Joey had a dog, Willie.
Oh, that's a great dog name.
Yeah,
too.
Willie. If I came back, Willie's a cool name.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, if you came back. Yeah, man, Willie Mays, number 600. All right, now this is where it gets really random. So, yesterday, dude, it's so cool.
Oh, this is a great story. You're going to get into it?
Are we talking about the game?
No, Ted.
Yes, the game.
Yeah.
So yesterday we're doing the show, and
this is awesome.
All of a sudden, you know, my phone's going crazy. FIFA 23 just announced that you can play as AFC Richmond.
That is so outrageously cool.
Jamie Tartt, Sam Obisanya, and of course the head coach Ted Lasso.
Sam, that's awesome,
dude. That game is so. That show is so big,
right?
They make
FIFA.
Like, what if Madden made,
remember the Titans
or any of these, any of these kinds of teams? Like, you never see that.
Here's the Rev. You can play with the Rev as the Rev.
Sunshine. Well, you can play as Trevor Lawrence.
Dude, I watched it last night. Because the kids are sick, I've been watching movies, sick-type movies.
It's funny that you bring up Remember the Titans, because we'll get to that in a second.
All right.
But I figured, because there's just such a... it's random that FIFA is now including a
fictional
team. But I showed you some of the graphics. Like, look, graphics nowadays are ridiculous in sports video games.
Yeah.
They're so real. But you can play as AFC Richmond in FIFA 23. Ted Lasso's the head coach.
I mean, that's worth... Listen, that's worth updating.
Yes, 100%. And so I figured, you know what? Why not play?
I love it.
And I have said on the air a couple of times that I think Ted Lasso is the closest to being a perfect show. Because they have everything, right? They have the humor. They have the emotion. They have the suspense. They have everything in Ted Lasso is damn near perfect. There's been one episode that I didn't like. And this is probably one of my favorite
scenes.
Yeah, that
was a great episode. I can't believe you didn't like it.
I skipped it when we rewatched it.
You know you didn't.
Yeah, we skipped it.
That was a great episode.
Yeah,
it was actually... It's funny. The one show you and I agree on, the one show that we actually...
Yes.
We agree. It's a beautiful show.
It's awesome.
It really is.
But here is the scene, one of my favorite scenes. My favorite scene from the show, one of my favorite scenes of any show, the dart scene.
Yeah,
where
it's
he
great
goes
scene.
Up
yeah.
the against the
Yeah, it
the
is.
Owner.
You're right about that.
How about a game? I mean, we could, you know, maybe wager, say... 10,000 pounds?
Well, as my doctor told me when I got addicted to fettuccine Alfredo, that's a little rich for my blood. How about this? If you win, I'll let you pick the starting lineup of the last two games of the season. But if I win, you can't go anywhere near the owner's box, at least not while Rebecca's still in charge. What do you think?
You're on.
Oh, wait a second. I forgot I'm left-handed. Nay, what do I need to win?
Two triple 20s and a bullseye.
Good luck. You know, Rupert, guys have underestimated me my entire life. And for years, I never understood why. It used to really bother me. But then one day, I was driving my little boy to school, and I saw this quote by Walt Whitman. It was painted on the wall there. It said, "Be curious, not judgmental." And I like that. So I get back in my car, and I'm driving to work. And all of a sudden, it hits me. All them fellas that used to belittle me, not a single one of them were curious. You know, they thought they had everything all figured out. And so they judged everything. And they judged everyone. And I realized that their underestimating me, who I was, had nothing to do with it. Because if they were curious, they would ask questions. Questions like, "Have you played a lot of darts, Ted?" Which I would have answered, yes, sir. Every Sunday afternoon at a sports bar with my father from age 10 to 16 when he passed away. Barbecue sauce.
That's awesome. That's such a great scene.
Oh, it was incredible.
You still well up over that.
Yeah, it's great.
But it shows over.
Talking
it's great.
About his dad. Yeah. And, you know, obviously, if you've seen the show,
it's such a great show.
His dad meant to him, all that kind of stuff.
You really should go back. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's a great,
Tom
great, great, great show.
I've still not seen it.
That's such a miss.
When you were out in Italy, I was like, dude, I will literally give you my account so you can watch it. And he still has not. So hopefully soon.
That's a big miss on him.
Yes, it is.
Him and the pizza.
Yeah.
I'm starting to be south on Tommy.
Uh-oh.
And I love Tommy.
And he played Barry behind your back yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's out. I think he's getting, you know why? He's going to go into pit misery.
He's getting bumped down.
Yeah.
Ray moves up. all right. So off of that, I said, all
That's right. That's your voice, though. He's got to earn it.
What other fictional sport teams could be in video games? And I know you absolutely love this movie in soccer, and I thought about you because your son's name is Massimo.
We watched it the other night. Massimo loves this because it's kicking and screaming.
Yes.
With head coach assistant coach Mike Ditka. And I've seen it 1,000 times. Massimo loves it. Can we watch it? Kicking and screaming. Go ahead, put it on. And I watched it. I watched the Phillies game on my phone.
Yep.
And that's on.
I haven't seen it in so long, but when I grabbed this clip, I laughed. I was like, I forgot how funny this is. This is the scene when Ditka walks off the field because Will Ferrell got a little crazy.
I don't think that's a very good attitude. You can't talk about hurting other players. You don't think? I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
Well, I'm not crazy. I'm just thirsty.
Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell.
While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. You're like your old man.
I'm not like my old man.
If it weren't for these kids, I would whip your butt.
I can take a punch.
I'm out of here. Bye-bye. I'll see you. Mr. Big Time Coach.
Bye-bye.
I'm not like my old man. I'm a kind and gentle, compassionate human being with a heart as big as a lion.
That's fantastic.
All right, let's break someone's clavicle on three. One, two, three. Break someone's clavicle.
That's pretty funny. I forgot how funny
it's hysterical. It is actually funny.
He's obsessed with the coffee.
Eating the coffee. Yeah. And then
he brings the espresso machine.
The two Italian kids are over here at their uncle's learning how to be butchers.
Yeah, and then they all went to the butcher shop. The team quit or forfeits because they walk out of the truck.
Yeah, it was
the
good.
All over
the kids
them.
The kids love it.
That's a great one. All right, one more fictional team, and you just touched on it. Remember the Titans.
Dude, we watched it last night, like leading up to the Phillies game. Like, so I got Phillies on phone, and he's watching it. I keep looking up at the Titans. It's the greatest.
Yeah,
it really is.
When the Phillies
I still love it.
That was a tough game, especially when Vlad goes
yard. Yeah.
So I love this scene because I talk about it all the time. This is how Jonathan Gannon should live his life. But here's the Blitz All Night scene.
Yeah.
I know all about it, Titus.
What are you talking about, Bill?
You call this game fair, or I'll go to the papers. I don't care if I go down with you. But before God, I swear I'll see every last one of you thrown in jail.
You dig your own grave.
Petey, the strong side.
Coach, they're calling a holding penalty on me every time.
Did I ask for your excuses? You want to act like a star? You better give me a star effort. Do you hear me? Forget about him. Allen, you're it. Come on.
All right. Now, I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night. If they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
That is awesome. You know what I realized when I was watching it? The bad coach the evil coach?
Yeah.
All right? On the other side of the championship game?
Yes.
Is the same evil coach in Waterboy.
Oh, my God. That's right.
He's the same bad coach in Waterboy who tortured Henry Winkler.
Yes, that's right. Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
The same coach. He was the same actor.
He was a little bigger in Remember the Titans, I think, right? Or was it because it was cold and he's wearing a puffy jacket?
Yes, he's got the same hate to face.
Yes.
You know, and he had the same style. And Coach Boone.
Coach Boone.
He was the best.
I love Coach Boone.
Yeah, he was the greatest.
That movie.
How about
that? That movie.
We're going to do up, down.
You thirsty?
You thirsty? Water's for wimps.
We're going to do up downs until you're thirsty no more.
Or you're tired. No more. We're now going to 3 days until you get a Meanwhile, in the NFL, they've practiced for 45 minutes.
Right, exactly. They can't tackle for the first 4 weeks of the season.
They're laying each other out.
I freaking hate it that we have to go, oh, man, don't worry. It's just week one. They're shaking off the rust because they don't practice anymore. And I get it, it's probably for the better, but now the first couple weeks of the season are just ridiculous.
I know.
You have 42-38 football games. Tua Tagovailoa, who's got a candy cake arm, is thrown all over the field because the Ravens don't know how to play defense.
It's unbelievable, dude. It's unbelievable.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's our time, fantasy time. Our man, the Geekus. Geekus!
Oh, man, you got me hungry for one of those steaks. I can't stop thinking about it.
That's a Phillips steak, cuz. You would go nuts.
With the whiz, right?
Yes, yes, yes. It's delicious.
I need this. I need it in my life. I don't want it. I need it.
See, you don't even have to worry about it. Like, I got to ship them up to you.
This is what I'm talking about. This is makes it all worthwhile. Right there, I need one of these steaks. Ship them here because the cheesesteaks around here, it's not the same.
Now you're in New York. There's no steaks. They're fugazis. No. This is the real thing.
Now,
you're gonna love it.
I gotta ask: does it say Philly cheesesteak on any menu that you go to?
That's when you know you don't do it.
They do say Philly.
Oh yeah, I hate that. Those frauds.
Yeah. No, they all say Philly cheesesteak, and you know it's just not the same thing around here. Shame on them. They should not be allowed to write Philly cheesesteak on what they serve us around here.
Okay. All right, buddy. We got a lot to do. All right, Geekus. First of all, you killed it last week, as always. Second of all, give us a little, before we go into all the questions, because a lot of people are after you. They're after that beautiful brain of yours. Give us a little summation about this week, week three, going into fantasy.
Yeah, so every week we learn a lot, right? And it helps us craft our teams and figure out what we're going to do for the next week. So a couple of big takeaways I have from NFL week two. First of all, the running back position. We've got James Robinson officially kind of taking over as the lead back for the Jaguars. I think that's big. Everybody thought it was going to be ETN. This kid is amazing. On the Rams, Cam Akers makes his return and actually gets essentially what was the lead running back role for the Rams. So, you know, he's not dead in the water just yet. I'm still waiting to see how that whole thing settles out. But Akers, you know, had a little bit of little life in those legs last week. On the Bills and Miami, who are facing off this week, the running back position is a disaster. Miami now shifted back to Raheem Mostert. You can't touch either of those situations. Really a disaster. And the last running back that interests me, Damian Pierce, after kind of being forgotten week one, takes over, gets all the rushes in week two for the Texans. So we had some interesting sort of running back situations finding themselves, at least just a little bit. I've got a player that I want the whole audience to go out and try to get on waivers if you can.
Who?
Now. And this is the cheat code Remember, I've had a cheat code every year.
You always had the cheat code. You're a genius with the cheat code. It works.
I love the cheat code. Last year was Deontay Johnson. This year it's Curtis Samuel on your second favorite team.
Oh, okay. Carolina.
Yes. Curtis Samuel's getting this guy, and this is not going to change. They're scheming about 10 targets per game. He's a for real. It's a real thing that will continue. I don't think it was a fluke what happened with Curtis Samuel the first couple weeks. So grab him. A lot of people don't know who Curtis Samuel is. So there's still a chance to get him on waivers in a lot of leagues.
I love it. Curtis Samuel cheat code. That's fabulous.
And a DFS cheat code for the next few weeks until, you know, salaries catch up with what this kid is doing. I love Curtis Samuel. He's going to be on all my teams. DFS cheat code as well. I've got a couple more hot takes. I don't know how hot this is.
All your takes are sizzling hot.
So the other couple is we have got some new studs emerging, both from the rookie group and from some second or third year players. And I believe these breakouts are real. Number one, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
Now, people were asking who this year's Cooper Kupp is.
Yeah.
It's Cooper Kupp, but it's also Amon-Ra St. Brown. Wow. What he's doing. By the way, his stretch of dominance goes well back into last year. We're talking about 10 games in a row of him absolutely crushing. So it's a real phenomenon with Amon. The sun god has descended upon the earth. And he is using his powers to help the Lions have a good offense.
The sun god, I love it.
Yes. And finally, I've got two rookies. These guys might still be available on waivers as well. Drake London. This is a real phenomenon. This kid's a stud. He's getting all the looks for his team. No competition. I love what Drake London's doing. And I've told you pretty much all offseason. I kind of like Mariota. He's been good. I think he might be a real NFL quarterback.
Yeah, I hear you on that. That goes back to the fact that, you know, that's a decent hookup. And, you know, he could get some numbers with his legs. So it kind of makes sense that he's a quality fantasy guy to help you save.
Yeah, he hasn't had the big game yet, but you know, our model is predicting a lot more rushing usage from Mariota this week, and just in general, I think that good game is out there for him. He's got a great matchup, Seattle. So if it's not happening this week, it's never happening. So I really like that. I really like that situation for the Falcons. And the other rookie, and this one I believe less, is Garrett Wilson on the Jets. I'm a long-suffering Jets fan, and I'm a skeptic of any sort of fantasy production that comes out of our team, especially the wide receiver position. But, I mean, can't deny Garrett Wilson's looking pretty good.
Was that crazy that we Flacco, how did Flacco get in the nuts last week?
No. No one could surpass Tua last week, but Flacco, amazing game, and the nuts meaning the perfect lineup on DraftKings or FanDuel, just to... Not everybody knows that term, but it wasn't.
I learned that from you. I didn't know that. Yeah. You, that's you.
The listener's not. Flacco had a great game. Lamar had a great game, but it was Tua. Tua Tagovailoa. My goodness.
Yeah.
He's looked great, and they're throwing everything. I mean,
and was Nick Chubb the running back? Because he had the monster.
Yeah, we mentioned Nick Chubb. You know, he was the only running back that had a good. Game in the main slate, meaning that like the 1 a.m. and 4 o'clock games, there was only one running back that did anything. It was Chubb. Every other one was a bust. It was a really, really tricky.
Yeah, game. That was weird. All the running backs didn't do anything. And the 4 o'clock had some great ones, and they all were nothing.
It was busts across the board. Shocking, I guess. It happens once in a while. But, yeah, it was busts across the board. Even Christian McCaffrey, no one did it. I mean, Jonathan Taylor showed us his floor.
And yeah.
Scary low floor when he shows it. I don't want to see it ever again. But, yeah, we saw a lot of really poor games for the running back position last week. So I think that'll change. You know, there's a random chance, and that'll bounce back this week for sure.
You're getting a little, you sound fuzzy. So whatever you're doing, try to make sure the mic is tight and you're in it. My man, DeChunas, has a strategy question.
Yeah, I got a strategy question for you, Geek, because, you know,
listen, I'm dealing with it, but I know a lot of other people will be too. The Monday night game's gross. It's Cowboys-Giants. Sunday night, I know a lot of people have this guy in their lineup. He's listed as questionable, and that's Jerry Jeudy. What do you do? Because the next night, Monday night, you don't really want to play into those guys unless you have CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I, you know, we have to wait till probably Saturday, Sunday, and get the word. If he hasn't practiced, I'm not taking a chance with Jerry Jeudy. I'm just going to play somebody else. I have that dilemma in a couple leagues, and the alternatives are very bad. But, you know, if I have to put Devin Singletary in my lineup over Jerry Jeudy because I don't think Jerry's playing, I'm going to do it. So I think we have to wait until Saturday. If he hasn't practiced all week, assume that he will not play.
Yeah, my backup plan is an ew. Aguilar.
Ew.
Aguilar. He had a big week last week. You know,
I have two guys stashed. I have D-Hop and I have Gallup stashed just in case.
So. Smart. All right, let's get into quickly. We got a lot of people that want to know your opinion, Geek. They love your brain. Rob Whitmer says, trade alert. Should I trade Kirk and get back Cooks and ATN?
I say no. I like Kirk. ATN is just, at this point, really a backup running back waiting for an injury. He's not startable.
All right.
Kirk better than Cooks.
Okay, I like that. Joe Hamlet says, flex Damian Pierce or Cortland Sutton?
Yeah, play Cortland Sutton. Like Chun just mentioned, with no Jerry Jeudy or potentially no Jerry Jeudy, you know, Cortland Sutton's going to get those targets. So, yeah, I'm going Cortland Sutton right there.
All right, Matthew says, PPR league, Kirk or Deontay Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, it's Kirk for me. Deontay, wow, the lowest total game I think I've ever seen. So I'm going to stick with Kirk, and he's been having big games. Let's ride with the captain for another week.
All right, I like that. Craig the groundskeeper says, he needs a running back and a flex. Do you go Breece Hall or Kareem Hunt? He also has Brandon Ayuk and Devin Duvernay.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is close. I am going Kareem Hunt. That is a running game matchup for the Browns. Breece Hall is also the number two. By the way, I'm coining.
He had a good year, though. I mean, a good week. He's going to be good.
He's going to be great. I'm coining a nickname for him. It's happening right now. Breece Lightning. That's my thing.
I like that. That's good.
Breece Lightning. But he's still the second running back on the Jets. Carter's playing ahead of him. So I'll take the second running back on the Browns over the second running back on the Jets for now. For this week and right, this matchup, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, he's still the second guy on the Jets.
All right. Sam from England wants to know, he needs two of these three. All right. Kamara, Edwards-Helaire or Darrell Henderson?
Yeah, I mean, it's Kamara and Edwards-Helaire for me all day, assuming Kamara plays, which I think he will.
All right. Rob wants to know, you got to pick three of these, half-point PPR league, DK Metcalf, your man, the sun god, DJ Moore, Deontay Johnson, and Miles Sanders.
I wrote it all down so I can know. Right, so definitely we're playing the sun god here.
Yes.
And we've got, Deontay Johnson, I think you're going to play as well in the PPR league. So if it's coming down to Sanders or Metcalf, I'm going to go with Metcalf over Sanders.
Okay. All right. And DJ Moore.
Wait. DJ Moore over Metcalf. So give me DJ Moore over Metcalf. That's
okay.
I wrote four instead of the five.
All right. Carl has to replace Mike Evans because of suspension. So he needs two of these guys. Adam Thielen, Claypool, Aguilar, or Duvernay?
Oof. Two of them?
Yep.
I think it's Thielen and Claypool.
Okay.
And I'm going to play those guys over. Aguilar had the big week last night. That just happens once in a while with him. And Duvernay, enough with this. I don't even know what's going on with this guy, but I keep saying don't play him, and he keeps scoring a touchdown. It's making me crazy. One thing, though, on the Evans note is, I don't think Tom Brady is playable at all this week. I think you've got to put him on your bench. Maybe bring up Carson Wentz, former Philadelphia.
Ew.
Like the next Tom Brady out there. Carson Wentz is looking good.
Ew. Ew. Real? Oh, no. In fact, Kayla Flanagan wants to know, she's She goes, do you start Russell Wilson or Carson Wentz at quarterback?
I it's going to make me say, oh, I can't say it, but Carson Wentz.
Oh, no.
Terrible.
God, no.
You know?
He's going to throw. He's going to melt. I'm telling you, don't play him. He's going to be goo against the Eagles.
Oh, I don't love the spot, but, I mean, Wilson, prove it, Wilson. He hasn't looked good. That team is horribly coached. Nathaniel Hackett, what's going on? But I do have to say, with the Commanders, they're looking like the number two team in the NFC East.
Yes, I agree. I agree with
number
you.
Two.
All right, Tim Hollerbush wants to know, hey, he's got a flex. Damian Pierce, Devontae Smith, or David Montgomery?
I'm going David Montgomery. That's an easy one for me. I thought Montgomery looked great last week running the football, even in a horrible game. This Bears team, the offense is terrible, but I feel like Montgomery's the one bright note. He's getting that 65% of the carries, and they want to run the football. So give me Montgomery over Pierce.
All right, Alex needs an RB2. Edmonds, Breece Hall, Akers, or Etienne?
Oh, this one is tough, right? Because Edmonds is basically unstartable at this point. Etienne is the backup. I'm going Akers. These are all kind of mediocre choices. But, Etienne, again, number two guy. I think Akers is the number one guy on his team. And the rest of those guys are number two. So I'm going to go with the number one guy, Akers, but without much confidence. I don't like that group at all.
Jeremy wants to know, do you go for the flex? Scary Terry or Dallas Goedert?
Oh, at some point, Scary Terry's got to have a good game. I still believe I'm going to favor him over Goddard just a little bit.
Oh, you got big play Slay lurking.
He can do it. Yeah, I know. I agree. And Terry McLaurin has not had a good game in forever.
I know.
I mean, it's years now. I actually called him the most overpriced player in the daily fantasy sports.
Wow.
The most overpriced guy, but I Goddard's getting 5-6 targets. You know, I think McLaurin has a little more upside, but you know, flip a coin there. It's Philly. So if you want to go with Goddard, go with it. Who wants to put a player from the opposing team in your lineup?
All right, Joel.
Go with the hometown boy.
I like it. Joel says 12-team PPR league, Jerry Jeudy or Amari Cooper for his flex spot.
Yeah, we can't trust that Jeudy is going to play, so go with Amari Cooper. He had a great week last week. They don't throw a lot, obviously, in Cleveland, and Cooper's floor is pretty low, but I'm worried that Jeudy might not play.
All right, let's keep it rolling here because John wants to know two of these, Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, or Jacoby Myers, full PPR.
Keenan Allen, if he plays, but again, I don't think that he will. So I'm going to go with Amari Cooper there. I think there's a little more upside than there is with Jacoby Myers. I don't mind if you want to go. I think Jacoby Myers has a higher floor. So if I just kind of want to make sure I get 7 or 8 fantasy points, I'll probably go Jacoby. But I do think Amari Cooper has a little more upside. And if Allen plays, you play him, though, over those two by far. But we don't. I don't assume that Keenan Allen's going to play.
John D. goes, Goff or Russ Wilson?
Yeah, I'm still going Russ here. I can't.
You're not
going
to go down to Goff. All right.
No. Not dropping him that low. But Goff has had some good games already. Yeah, maybe he's turning around. Who knows?
All right. Luis wants to know, and to start a flex, half-point PPR, Antonio Gibson, James Robinson, Deontay, or Gabriel Davis?
Okay, so Gabriel Davis is the best of that group, assuming he plays.
All right.
From there, my order would be Gibson, then Robinson. All good players, though. Even Deontay's fine, but I'm not playing him over those other guys, you know, in this horrible 38-point environment.
All right. Luis wants to know, Julian wants to know, Scary Terry or Cordarrelle Patterson for the flex?
Oh, boy. Again, you know, I'm still, this one's a tough one, and I don't have any problem with anybody going a different way, but I'm just going to go with Scary Terry one more week. Let's give him another chance.
All right. VP wants to know, Vince Mann wants to know, flex, Olave, Landry, or Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
You know, the answer here, we're going to go with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's got the touchdown upside, and it's just a better play. But I do love what Olave is doing, and he deserves to be in the conversation with the rookie, you know, wide receiver group that kind of look like they're going to be studs. But you're going to go with the running back there on the exciting offense. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire for me.
Mike wants to know, he's in a two-quarterback league, which is awesome. And his second quarterback, does he go Matt Jones or Baker Mayfield?
Man, have a better second quarterback would be my first. You got to go Matt Jones here. Baker Mayfield, you know, I don't know. This one, you lost me. I can't.
Wow,
I
you just go, ew. All right.
Yeah, that was horrible.
All right. Michael Orsburn wants to know standard PPR flex, A.J. Dillon, Renfro, or Wilson Jr.?
Wilson Jr. I'm going with Wilson Jr. here.
Okay.
I know it's a little weird, but you know, I think Kieran David Price might have gotten hurt. Like, they try to bring in a second guy on the 49ers, and that didn't really work out. So I think Wilson Jr. is going to get that whole role. I don't love any of these choices, but I'd probably go with Wilson Jr. there. I think he's got a shot at getting a touchdown this week.
All right. I like that. Marky Mark says, flex start. Sanders, Renfro, Godwin, or Amari Cooper?
All right, so Godwin is not going to play this week. And Renfro is borderline unstartable for me, so I'm going with Amari Cooper. I'm not a Sanders guy. I'm going with Amari Cooper there.
All right.
Don't love it, though. Don't love any of these. And, you know, this is a gross one, but I'm going to go with Cooper there.
All right. Now, I need to ask you to tell us about how you get all your data. Because you have your own app. Of course, a geekus would have his own app, and it's amazing because you deal with props and sports betting and fantasy all in one. What is it?
Yeah, we have a Sharp app, and you got to check it out. Give it a download. The greatest thing about the same analytics that we put into our fantasy football projections, they're going into player props. We're absolutely crushing them under the top props tool on the app. We have pre-game betting models for every game across all the sports. It's not just NFL. We have NCAA football. We've got baseball. Everything that you could buy. Every sport, we're modeling it for sports bettors. So we give you the expected value of every potential bet, both against the spread and on every prop across every team. It's awesome. And one of the cool things we have on Sharp app, which is really unique, is we get information from the sports books on their liabilities. So we know, for example, if the sportsbook needs Cleveland or Pittsburgh tonight. And bettors really like that information, knowing that, hey, I want to be with the sportsbook. I want to be on the side that they're rooting for tonight. So a lot of times, you know, those obvious bets, the sportsbook, you know how those obvious bets, they never work out and always goes the opposite way. You're like, how did that happen? I was sure the Colts were going to beat the Jaguars. Oh, how did this happen? You know, that kind of thing. And we see it on the liability sheets. And I just like playing with the house. So we have some really incredible data, some of it which we actually manually get, other ones we automate. And the Sharp app's just the ultimate tool for sports bettors. So if you don't have it, make sure you download it. You'll love the content, breakdowns for every single game, betting trends. It's all in there. Most of it's free.
You're the man. Dude, you are the best. That's why you're the one, the only geek. And if people want to contact you, FF, tell them.
F Football Geek on Twitter. I know it blows up every time we do the show. Hit me with your sit start questions, whatever you like, at F Football Geek, like Fantasy Football Geek on Twitter.
FF. F
Football Geek. Yeah, F Football Geek. Yeah, I couldn't. And hit me up on Twitter. I'm happy to answer any questions. Hit you, you know, with your sit starts. And don't do it in the DMs. I don't always see the DMs. Hit me on the regular Twitter so I can see it and answer you guys.
All right, now we're going to get you some Phillips steaks, all right?
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to get it. We're going to get it for you. Good stuff, Geekus. We love you, buddy. Thanks, pal. Of course. You know that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.